This is Saturday Morning Radio with Alice, presented by the NZ International Comedy Festival, powered by Flick Electric Co.
So many people. Yes, so it's part of the New Zealand International Comedy Festival, which hasn't quite started yet, but we're bringing in a lot of comedians who are doing shows in the festival, and we're getting them to bring in some of their favourite little comedy clips or bits or whole sets. Look at me using the lingo. Am I doing well, Reese?
You're nailing it, Alice.
Thanks. So I'm joined by Reese Mathewson, who, as you can tell already, is very supportive.
Yep.
Which I appreciate. He's got a show at the festival, Reese Classic, May 17th to 20th, and it's $20 to $25. I would say it would be one to go to.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. I've seen you do comedy a few times. I'm a fan. I think it's, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks. I'm glad that you knew the dates and stuff, because I have not even accepted the fact that I'm doing a show yet, really. Like, I'm trying to just not think about it.
How's it going? Like, how's the prep going? You?
Good. It's going good. It's coming together, where I think I'm maybe 80% of the way there.
I'm going to ask you that question again when we're off air and see if we get the same answer.
No, I think that's about it.
That's cool.
I do. I was panicking about this year's festival like 9 months ago, so I started doing this little monthly new material night at the Classic
to try
and like work up new stuff. So I've got like all of these like jokes that I've done once that I was like, I'll hone them and work them into my club set, and then I've just left them there, and now I'm in the same panic place as everyone else.
So the last minute, but the last minute honing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, you've brought in a few clips. Let's get into one of them. Do you want to tell us about this first one?
Yeah, this is Luke Heggie, who's an Australian guy who's been over for our comedy festival a couple of times, 2-3 years ago. And he just blew me away. Like, he has this incredible bluntness about his style that not many people can get away with. And it's just a really charming, straight-talking, thinking man's blue-collar man's it's great.
Okay, great. Let's get into it.
Right. So I've been working on people's houses building. It's excellent, just to occupy my tiny mind for 8 grueling physical hours per day. Most of the time I'll go to work, but sometimes I'll stay home to keep an eye on me. This one woman said to me recently, look, I'm just going to work from home today. Just pretend I'm not here. Just carry on and do whatever you do if I wasn't here. I said, oh, yeah, fair enough. And not even 5 minutes later, I was lying on her bed going through a handbag. And she busted in and started screaming at me. And a lot of married couples I work for, they start to panic when the bills mount up and they have to start paying some blue-collar piece of shit like me some of their money. So they say things like, oh, no, you know what, just leave that. Just we're going to do the painting ourselves on nights and weekends. Oh, are ya? Well, here's the number of a painter I know. Just give him a call in 3 months when you're dividing your assets, you dickheads. Very good reason modern marriages last exactly the same amount of time it takes for two unskilled people to paint 3/4 of a house. And I don't want to diss the ancient, outdated industry of marriage. It's not my thing, you know. Marriage is excellent. Weddings are the best part of it. Some of the best days of my life have been spent at weddings. So some women, right, I'm not going to say all, and find myself in the letters to the editor again, but, you know, so some women on their wedding day, they'll just go right out of their way to just make themselves completely unrecognisable. And you see grown men, they'll cry on their wedding day. It's not because they're, you know, sad, not at all. It's not because they're happy either, like they try to say. They're just sort of confused. You'll see a man nudging a priest and going, hey, mate, can't wait to get married to my soulmate and my best friend and spend the rest of my life with who the fuck is that? Someone walking towards us. She's got a big smile on her face. She appears to know who we are. She's dressed up like a meringue. And for reasons best known to herself, she's got 2 different haircuts on the same head. I went to my kid's school, right? And this lunatic has approached me and said, look, there's no nuts at school anymore. I said, well, you're absolutely correct. Have a look at these little cream puffs. There's not a testicle between them. Some of them are skipping and stuff. And I said, no, there's no nuts at school anymore. And to top that, there's no dairy as well. One of the kids in your son's class has got a dairy allergy. So you're going to have to tell your kids not to bring any nuts or dairy to school anymore. Well, am I? Well, maybe you're going to have to tell the pussy kids not to steal my kids' delicious muesli yogurt. Maybe if these unlikely little dork thugs, every time they steal something, they shit their pants and can't breathe. And, you know, they'll grow up and be really good adults. Theft will be eradicated. It's going to be excellent. I said, no, it's not about that. It's about empathy. It's about making sure that pussy kids and normal kids are all equal. And, you know, if they're all little champions, fourth place gets a ribbon, all that sort of business, you know. And I said, oh, yeah, fair enough, well done. But, you know, and as luck would have it, the next weekend, my little fella, he's had a big stack on his skateboard. It was one of those ones where for the first 10 seconds after impact, there was no noise. And you just think, this is going to be fucking massive. And it was, and he wasn't wearing any shoes, and he ended up losing a little toe. It was disgusting, and so I had to go into school the next Monday morning, into his class with 23 sets of crutches and a pair of bolt cutters. So look, I don't want my little bloke feeling left out. Anyway, have that.
So that was Luke Higgy.
Yeah.
Am I saying Higgy?
You're nailing it.
I'm going to say it a few more times.
I love how he ends sets with just going, have that.
Yeah.
And then walking off, like, it's so wonderful.
It's pretty great. Just done.
It's incredible. If you ever get the chance to see him do, he's got one of the best jokes I've heard in recent years that wasn't in that set, but I don't want to say it on a morning radio show.
You just have to go and see him to hear it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely go see him. I'm running out of words what to say, but he works as a builder during the day, or used to, and then would do comedy at night, and then would like just hated all other comedians complaining about like, oh, I have to have a cafe job, and he's like, you guys don't know what real work is.
I mean, I'm going to say that's probably a little bit true for some comedians.
Oh yeah,
maybe a little bit.
We're an inherently lazy breed.
I work in radio, so I don't know what a real job is for sure. I can't lift things. That's great. So you said he's not at the festival this year.
No, there's only one clip that I've picked that is at the festival, but we'll talk about that when we get to it.
Okay, great. So you have to maybe go to Australia if you want to see him. Or
yeah, go to Melbourne.
Wait till he comes again.
He'll be in the Melbourne festival currently, probably. So go
awesome,
do that.
Excellent, Reese. Okay, so what's the next one we're looking
next
at?
Next one up is Beth Stelling. Beth Stelling is an American comedian. She came over here and did a gig 2 years ago, maybe. There was, I don't know who it was, this little production company started bringing over, like, mid-level American comedians and putting them on at gigs at the Tuning Fork. And it was this real cool, like, alt-comedy, rocky kind of thing happening. And they stopped doing them pretty quickly, but like Beth came over, Joe Mandy, who's a writer on Parks and Rec, came over.
Yeah, I went to that one.
Yeah. So like really cool, and they should have kept it happening. But yeah, so that's when I saw Beth, and her gag rate is incredible. Like just so offhanded with her delivery, but like really punchy stuff. And she is also writing on Pete Holmes's new show. Wrote an episode of that recently. But
awesome.
Yeah, this is her set from the Pete Holmes show.
I haven't heard of her before, so I'm excited.
She's great. She's got an album called Simply the Beth.
What more do you need to say?
Thank you. So much love. Thank you. It's so good to be here. I've been traveling around the country, telling jokes, drinking white wine. So I have no idea how many kids I have out there. No clue. And I don't keep an address for that reason, so they'll never find me. I'm originally from Ohio. A lot of people in Ohio don't realize that you can put all of your things into a bag and then leave. Scoot right on out of town. One of my first jobs was at a bagel shop. So as you can imagine, a lot of times I was serving bagels straight to my face. Again, a little wink. Yeah. I took the job while we all take jobs in food service for the sexual harassment. Yeah. That worked out great. I think it was around Christmas time that my boss, he announced that we were having a weight loss challenge. which sounds illegal. So I quit. I usually tend to date potheads. It's kind of like my thing. I don't know why. You know, I guess they can't leave if they're already gone. I am currently in a long-distance relationship, so as you can imagine, I am just constantly looking for a new relationship. Not really. I do fantasize a lot about strangers, so that's just... I got it. Thank you. Walked in. I love my boyfriend. I do, don't get me wrong. I love my boyfriend so much that I went out and I got his name tattooed on my back. And I know a lot of you guys are thinking, whoops-a-daisy. And I've seen Benjamin Button. Okay, I know things end. But a friend of mine was like, Beth, this is truly the worst mistake of your life. What if you date somebody else? And I said, point taken, you know, if I am dating somebody else from behind and they see that tattoo, you know, I can just look back and be like, hey, this is the kind of commitment you can expect from me. I feel like that'll do it, you know. It's not bubble letters and hearts and things like that. It's just his signature, so. It's really more of like a lease, you know, is how I like to look at it. My mom is very uncomfortable with anything sexual, okay? I think it's because she's a virgin. Now, my mom and I, we go way back, so... I have always loved playing little pranks on her. And when I was younger, she would pick me up from school on her Mercury Sable, her Sabletooth Tiger. And I would get in the front seat and I would just be like scoping out the neighborhood for stragglers, you know, so I could lean out the window and just go, hey, do you need a ride? And then just get down real low, you know, in the car. So it would just look like my sweet mom driving the car going, no, no, it was her. Which to that kid just looks like, don't listen to what they told you in school. Get in my car. And despite my antics, my mom would reward me with sweets, which haunts her to this day because my teeth are rotting out of my head. She had to buy me a tooth for Christmas, so... it was actually a crown. I'm a queen. And we used to go to Dairy Queen all the time together. Are you guys familiar with DQ? Hottie school treats. And so I order a Reese's Cup Blizzard. And before they hand you your Blizzard, they like to... They just like to turn it upside down before they give it to you. You know, as if to be like, what you're about to eat is completely unnatural. Real. Yeah. See how it sticks to the cup? It's going to stick to your butt. That's for you. We told you. And even though my mom is uncomfortable with sexual things, she makes like quite a bit of inadvertent sexual innuendo. So then my mom, this day, she goes to order and she leans towards the speaker and she goes, yeah, okay, I will take a penis brittle per... And then I said, she may need a penis whether it's brittle or not. Okay, and we'll take that. We'll take it. And Beth Stelling, thank you guys.
So it was Beth Stelling.
She's so great.
She's really, I really enjoyed that. I often find, like, if you can find those sort of mid-level ones, there can be some real gold there.
Yeah.
You kind of maybe haven't, you know, when you're a bit more on the nose, it's great to be introduced to them. But, you know, if you they're not big enough that they're going to be slammed in your face, but they've still got a lot of material out there.
Yeah. Michael McIntyre is very easy to find because he's very good and lots of people like him. But there's a whole... I wish comedy got to the point that it was as prevalent as music, or stand-up at least, to be like, people actively seek out the genres and the deep cuts, as it were.
That would be amazing.
That's my dream for the world.
Maybe, I mean, I think you can achieve that.
Thank you.
Tastemaker.
Yep, let's do it. I will happily be a tastemaker.
I will just...
Finally, the straight white man has the power to choose.
I will just say to the person that texted in asking how you spell the name of the Australian builder comic that was Luke Higgy, Luke like Luke, but Higgy, H-E-G-G-I-E. Do you think I need to spell Luke?
No, they'll get it. And if they don't, they don't deserve him.
It's the normal way you spell Luke. And the other thing, I've got a little short public service announcement to make. If you're heading over to the Wine and Food Festival on Waiheke Island, I've just been informed that there are massive queues. So don't just show up when you want to get on a ferry. Apparently they were putting more ferries on, but it's still just crazy. I've had someone call in, and I know we gave away some tickets to it. So you might want to get there a bit earlier, because it sounds like it's crazy.
It's intense stuff.
Getting to Waiheke.
Oh.
Anyway, back to the thing at hand, the topic at hand. I'm joined by Rhys Mathewson, who has a show at the New Zealand International Comedy Festival. He's brought in some great clips. We've listened to a couple already, and we've still got a couple to go.
Yeah, halfway.
Almost. We're making it. What one are we going to listen to next?
This is a local one. This is the only local one. This is the only show that's happening in the comedy festival that you can go and see.
So you can hear it. You can be like, gonna go to that one.
Yeah, this is Frickin' Dangerous Bro, which is a sketch group of James Roke, Pax Asadi, and Jermaine Ross. And they are hilarious. Like, they started doing sketch stuff maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, and just kind of changed the game a bit in New Zealand, because there wasn't a lot of sketch here, like live sketch, that is. Like, we've got, you know, Jono and Ben and sketch on TV, and that's great, but in terms of in front of a live crowd, these guys came along and just blew everyone out of the water.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't feel like there's much of a sketch scene in Auckland. I've seen a lot of comedy shows, but I think I've only ever seen one sketch one.
Yeah.
In Auckland.
Yeah, we used to have it way back in the day. There was, like, recently Granted and Sugar and Spice and stuff, all the old acts, but then they disappeared and no one replaced them. And these guys, I hope, are kind of bringing it back and revitalizing it, because they're, like, they are such joyous performers, both in a sketch and as themselves on stage with their mates doing sketch. So they've got a show on the Comedy Fest called Money in the Bank, where they got given a whole bunch of money to put on the show, I think, and they run out of it very quickly. But yeah, this is their half of their set from the Aotearoa from a couple years back. There's a full clip online, but it's potato quality. So this bit, you'll get the gist, but it's two boys in a lower decile school who are giving their teacher a hard time.
Great, I can't wait.
How about this one? You boys will like this one, hey? How Maui slurred the sun.
Yeah, finally some history. Yeah.
Wait, history? Yeah. Boys, how Maui slurred the sun is a myth. Okay, it's physically impossible to slow the sun down.
What are you talking about, sir? Haven't you read The Universe in a Nutshell by Professor Stephen Hawking?
No. It's just basic quantum physics, you box.
Quantum physics? What?
Yeah, quantum physics. Don't you know what quantum physics is?
Did they not teach you that at teacher school?
Yeah.
No.
How are you even our teacher, to be honest? Look, school MG, tell them.
So all you have to do is you just have to create randomly generated amplitudes on a microscopic level along the continuum of time and space.
Hence, creating a stable yet uninterrupted time warp.
Yeah, then you just drop the shoulder, sunny ball the sun through the time warp. With an implosion that generates at least 4.4 megatons of energy, thus slowing the sun in relation to time and space.
Boom, quantum physics.
Yo. It's kind of basic science.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, look, boys, I gotta tell you something. When I took this job at this lower decile school, I thought, I'm gonna have a hard time teaching these kids anything, but now that I've spoken to you, I gotta say, I'm sorry I had such negative assumptions about you.
It's all good, sir. Happens all the time, eh? Yeah. But we gotta bounce agents.
Yeah, we gotta go.
Wait, where are you guys going?
Well, believe it or not, sir, like, society's negative assumptions about us also shape the assumptions we have about ourselves. which leads to destructive and misguided behavior. So we're gonna go knock out Regan and steal his Jordans. Peace!
Saturday Morning Radio.
Yeah, puss, puss, puss.
So, that was Frickin' Dangerous, Bro.
Yeah, they're so good.
So good. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's great. They've got, they're making a show at the moment, and they've got a ton of sketches online. So check them out. They should be massive in New Zealand. They should be, like, one of the people that have shows every week that everyone watches, because they're tremendous.
Yeah, I agree. It was wonderful. Okay, well, we've got one more clip, but before that, I thought I would talk again, you know, let them know again about your show, Reese Classic.
I mean, these other comedians are fine, but let's get to the meat of the business.
Reese was too, he would be too humble to tell you, but I can tell you that he's actually won some awards. Last year he won the Fred Award, which was for the best New Zealand show at the Comedy Festival. That's like a big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, no one really knows about it outside the comedy industry.
Well, I'm going to tell them. I reckon that it's a pretty big deal. Congratulations.
Thank you. I liked that show a lot.
So, you know, he's quality and won the Billy T 6 years ago.
Sometimes if I'm having a bad set at a gig and I am just feeling self-indulgent, I'll sometimes go like, guys, I've won the Fred Award. Like, you're wrong about comedy. And I just get a room full of people looking back at me going, we have no idea what that means.
It may be going poorly right at this minute, but let me tell you, I can do this well.
Well, it's just like, I've been doing this long enough to know that, like, comedy is subjective, but in this instance, they're objectively wrong.
You have the award.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, awards, they don't mean everything, but it must be nice to just get that and just be like, you know, like a pat on the back, be like, yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice. It bummed me out for a bit afterwards, being like, oh, okay. Like, all comedians, I feel very anxious and uncomfortable with receiving any sort of genuine praise. So it just really made me unsettled and not feel good for a couple of months. And then I kind of accepted it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's just a nice wee thing.
To go like a whole, like a little emotional journey.
Yeah. Just throwing emotional spanners in the works. That's what
I mean, would
does.
You? Would we even say that maybe was the true prize? Was the emotions you got to feel? I'm just throwing ideas.
I like
out
that.
Here.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I didn't deserve the award, but they went. He needs to grow.
No, I can tell you, he absolutely did deserve the award, and you should check it out, especially if you've been vibing with some of the tracks that he's been bringing in. You're on the same wavelength. For the comedy. Okay, what's this last one?
This last one is the best comedian in the entire world.
Yeah, so you're not the only person that I've heard that from.
Who else have you heard it from?
Just like podcasts and people, you know, out there.
So this is a British guy called Daniel Kitson, who is incredible. He started comedy very young, shot up through the UK circuit, kind of became the king of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival through his legendary hosting and abilities. He won their version of the Fred Award, like the Perrier. But he took a really bad, ill-advised bit part on a really bad sitcom that he has since called Lazy and Racist. And the fact between that and him winning the award, bringing people that wouldn't normally come to his show, and like kind of ruining it by not engaging with it properly. So because of those two things, he puts it down to in the toilets before a gig, he heard some of his prospective audience talking about how they liked the band Evanescence, and that just really bummed him out. So he's shunned mainstream media. He doesn't do telly. He doesn't do radio. He just prefers to slowly build his audience just through the quality of his live work over the span of a couple of decades.
So he's not like a sellout. Like
no, he's
like
not.
You on the radio right now?
Yeah, he wouldn't be here shilling things,
which is sad. Because I would love to talk to him, but I guess I'd just have to talk to him in person.
Yeah, which would be the dream. The way to get his stuff is on his Bandcamp, Daniel Kitson Bandcamp, where he's got two shows that are up there that you can just get for free, which when I heard, like, just blew my mind. Like, they are game-changing. They're everything that comedy should be. They're silly and serious and spontaneous, but also, like, the beauty of a constructed phrase, and I think he set the bar for what stand-up comedy can do, and it's like 15 years later and everyone else is still catching up.
Wow, high praise.
Yeah, yeah.
And as we were also discussing off air, he's coming to Melbourne soon. So if you really, really wanted to see him and you want to do a spontaneous trip to Melbourne,
You can. It's possible. Doing like three shows there as well for the price of one.
I mean, it's a lot easier to get there than the UK, right? Well, thank you so much, Reese Mathewson. It's been lovely having you in. We'll finish off with this Daniel Kitson, and good luck with getting that last 20% of your show.
Thank you, Alice.
Sort it.
Oh, that walk was a bit longer than I'd anticipated, and clearly a bit longer than you'd all anticipated with the amount of applause you'd allocated for the walk. I mean, don't feel bad about it, but I'm going to be on television looking like a bit of a twat now. And I'm not entirely to blame for that, am I, eh? I did the gala last year, it went quite well, so if this doesn't, let's bear that in mind, right? Now, what I did last year was I used all my short jokes, because you've got about 4 or 5 minutes in which to come on, be hilarious, and then leave, never to be seen again. So I've done all my short jokes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a story. Now, it's pretty much putting all my comedic eggs in one basket, and if you don't like the story, I've got fuck all to fall back on. So again, no pressure, but please, you know. I used to really like playing football. I still like playing football, and I'm not as bad as it as my appearance would have you believe. At high school, in the third year, I was always picked last. It'd be like, right, Dan, it's either you or a bench. So, whoa, actually, stay there, we'll have the bench, pop it in goal. How's that? Right? So, by the fifth year, right, I'd become one of four team captains, and I thought, oh, now I have the power. Because that was fairly self-important as a 14-year-old boy. Oh, Ozymandias, look upon my kingdom and despair, ye mortals. Hey, sorry, I'll have Trevor. So, you know, I thought what I'd do is I'd pick the shit players who always got left to last, but I'd pick them first. Eh? Fucking the system. Eh? What's that? A law? Hiya! Eh? What's that? A convention? I was breaking a law and stretching a convention. I'm a maverick. I don't play by the rules you choose to live by, madam. Yeah? I thought I'd pick the shit players first, right? So we're there on the first day of PE, right? There's me and three other team captains over here and all our potential teammates scattered around the changing rooms over there. I've got first pick and I go, I'll have Darren. Now, Darren was the worst player in the whole school and he was also mental, right? He was our school's mental kid. Every school's got one mental kid and he was ours. He was properly mental. He once just shouted fuck off at a teacher for about 10 minutes and wasn't aware he was being naughty. He just goes, fuck off, you fuck off. You're not my real dad. He actually said that to a teacher on more than one occasion. He went, you're not my real dad. He's going, no, I know I'm not, Darren. I'm a woman. Can we move past this? Yeah, yeah. Very clever with your pullback and reveals, he said. So, I went, I'll have Darren, right? The whole room went, oh. I went, oh yeah, making changes. And he came walking over, not really walking, he sort of twitched and jerked a lot, so he sort of went, fuck off. And he sort of stood there and I was like, woohoo, team. And then it went down the line of team captains. He went, I'll have Ben Rowley, he's the best player. I'll have Tom Tuzzi, the second best player. I'll have Roger Tice, he's the third best player. It came back to me, right? I paused for effect, to be honest, you know. I could hear them whispering, wow, what's he gonna do now? He appears to be disregarding conventions. If I'm not much mistaken, we're in the presence of a maverick. I paused and I went, I'll have Duran. Now, Duran had a very similar name to Darren, right? Was the second worst player in the school. You know, I'm building a team of champions. And he was also mental, right? But quite often at lunchtime, he'd have a crunch corner yoghurt. Have you got crunch corner yoghurts over here? No? You see, most comedians would have researched whether or not a pivotal part of their story, stroke a basket full of eggs, you know, would translate, but not me. I'm a maverick, yeah? Well, I'm going to explain what a crunch corner yoghurt is. It's fairly simple. You've got a big bit of the yoghurt, that's yoghurt, and then there's a little portion in the corner which is full of crunchy bits, hence the crunch, right? And the corner, it's all in the name, right? And what you're supposed to do is flip it all in, flipping all the crunchy bits, right? But he didn't do that. He'd take out each individual crunchy bit one by one and arranged them carefully on top of the yoghurt, right? So he was mental. So what happened was, I went, I'll have Duran. And his face lit up, right? He couldn't believe that he'd not been picked last. He had a massive big grin across his stupid face. And he came staggering over to me. And I was thinking, it's working, it's fucking working, right? Then, as he got to about there, Darren, the worst player in the school, leans up to me and goes, you shouldn't have picked Duran, he's fucking shit! Well, how are you, a team or a charity? I play to win, do you, eh? Not my real dad, fuck off. Well, I hope you enjoyed my basket. It's taught me a valuable lesson. Thanks very much.
Don't get up. It's Catterday Morning Radio on 95 BFM.